BBC News with Jerry Smith. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has put the country on course for early parliamentary elections by sacking two senior cabinet ministers who lead parties in his coalition government. In a televised address, Mr. Netanyahu accused both the finance minister Yair Lapid and the justice minister Tzipi Livni of plotting against him.
In one word, that is called a putsch, and that makes it impossible to run a government. That makes it impossible to lead a country. Therefore, a short while ago, I instructed the cabinet secretary to issue dismissal letters to the ministers Livni and Lapid. Therefore, also due to the necessity to ensure a stable and proper conduct of government, I decided to push forward legislation to dissolve the Knesset and go to election as soon as possible.
Yair Lapid and Tzipi Livni, who both lead centrist parties, said the country had been dragged into unnecessary elections. A court in Egypt has recommended the death penalty for more than 180 people found guilty of violently attacking a police station in Giza after last year's ousting of President Mohamed Morsi. More than a dozen people were killed in the attack. Fahana Dawood reports.
The Giza attack happened on the same day last August that security forces cleared two Cairo protest camps belonging to supporters of the ousted Islamist president Mohamed Morsi. Hundreds of people were left dead. Nationwide unrest followed. Tuesday's sentence comes after another court dropped charges against Hosni Mubarak on Saturday over the killing of protesters during the 2011 uprising that ended his 30-year rule.
The medical charity Médecins Sans Frontières has again strongly criticized the international response to the Ebola epidemic in West Africa, describing it as patchy and slow. MSF said the job of tackling the crisis had largely been left to doctors, nurses and charity organizations. Mark Doyle reports from Accra, Ghana.
MSF's latest report is a reality check by an aid organization that has done more than any other to fight Ebola in the past 9 months. MSF said foreign governments, notably the UK in Sierra Leone and most recently China in Liberia, were continuing to build Ebola treatment centres. But these were sometimes in the wrong places and they were sometimes handing over staffing to people who did not have the right expertise, MSF said.
The Kenyan president Uhuru Kenyatta has replaced his interior minister and police chief following an attack by Somali Islamists from Al-Shabaab which left 36 quarry workers dead. In a televised address, he urged Kenyans to unite in what he said was a war against terrorists. The president described those who carried out the attack in Mandera, where non-Muslims were shot or beheaded, as deranged animals. News from the BBC. Professor Stephen Hawking, one of the world's preeminent scientists, has said that efforts to create thinking machines could result in the end of the human race. Professor Hawking said the forms of artificial intelligence developed so far had proved very useful, but the development of more sophisticated versions had risks.
Once humans develop artificial intelligence, it would take off on its own and redesign itself at an ever-increasing rate. Humans, who are limited by slow biological evolution, couldn't compete and would be superseded.
The Ukrainian military says pro-Russian rebels have attacked its forces again at Donetsk Airport in eastern Ukraine, despite talks on a ceasefire earlier in the day. A statement said rebel shelling shattered the calm soon after both sides had ended their meeting, which was also attended by a Russian general. Earlier, the rebels reported a ceasefire at the bitterly contested airport. China has announced it's sending artists, film directors and news presenters to live in villages in order to learn about rural life. The announcement followed a speech in which President Xi Jinping criticized artists for producing vulgar art in a bid for popularity rather than promoting socialist values. Martin Patience reports from Beijing.
During Chairman Mao's heyday, he sent millions of students down to the countryside to learn from the masses. Now, in an echo of history, China's media watchdog says artists, as well as TV and film staff, will be following suit. Some of the recruits will spend at least a month in a village in order to experience local life. Others will be sent to areas deemed of historical significance to China's revolutionary past. The country's media watchdog says this will allow participants to unearth new subjects and create more masterpieces.
And that's the BBC News.